This is VSiN's Pro Football Tailgate Show, only on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome aboard. Thanks for watching on YouTube TV this morning, listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates across the country. The fantasy guru, John Hansen, on the program coming up in 30 minutes. His best player props. Let's get nuts, have some guts a little bit later on, some long shot bets. And here we go with a contest update in Las Vegas at Circa Millions on the season, the consensus plays. So the five most popular plays every single week are only 25, 38, and 2 ATS on the year. That is 39.7%, and they've only had a winning week two times so far this year.
Incredible. Most selected team, Kansas City. Line was 3 on Sunday night. You can't fade the Washington game. It was a good number in the contest, plus 2.5. They're now favored. People went with the line value. The second most selected, Jacksonville, number 3. And then, it's rare, but it happens, fourth most selected, Chicago. Fifth most, Green Bay. So you throw that game out. So those are your three here.
You really can't do it this week.
No,
right. Really, it would only be the Texans there and the Colts.
Yeah. The picks have been horrible. You're right.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised by the Chiefs at 3. And obviously, when the entries are due at 4 o'clock Pacific time on Saturday, that number is going to move, you know, and it did. These numbers don't all move, but sometimes they will. And like, okay, that's 3.5 now. And now I got to take the 3. But also, I think you're at 3, you're really at the buy low point with the Chiefs on the entire year. Again, when you go back and compare, and I get it, things change. The Texans rating certainly has climbed up over recent weeks. And the Chiefs, you have to drop them a little bit. But for a team to be laying 2.5 at Buffalo, to get bet up to 4.5 at Denver, to be 3.5 at Dallas. I know they lost all of it, but then you come back home and you're three. So anyway, that number was just maybe, I think, a little bit off there. And the market obviously says the same thing. Now, will they actually go out there and win this game and cover tonight? Who the hell knows? It's a bad matchup for this team. I know this because with the guys that they have banged up on the offensive line going against Anderson, Hunter and company for that Texans front. Good luck.
The leader, CoinHop, who's an incredible 47-18 ATS, jumped ahead of Potato Kamish finally. Kamish had his first losing week last week, and he went 1-4. But he's going contrarian. He's on the Vikings. He laid 2.5 with Minnesota. He's on Baltimore, Green Bay, the Raiders, and the Chiefs. His five selections.
Well, the Vikings there, clearly a game theory player that to pick up a game. And certainly hoping that the person in front of him would be on the Commanders in this game then. Now, how about what happened with the entry? It's either K-Pick or K-Pitch. They had, for the quarterly, right? And so there are certain quarters that are, well, two quarters that are 4 weeks because of the 18-game schedule, and then two quarters that are 5 weeks. In the quarter, K-Pitch had an entry at the very top, and he was doing the exact opposite on another entry. So he had an entry that was the leader in the booby prize to have the worst record overall for the quarterly. So think about that. He was on pace to maybe take them both down, which is incredible. So he put in his picks last week, and on the entry at the very top of the quarterly, he went 0-5. And then because he flipped them, the booby prize entry, he was 5-0. Sickest man in America.
Yeah.
If you listen to VSiN, K-Pitch, K-Pick, however you say it, we'll buy you a beer next time you're in Las Vegas. Hit us up. Email the show, ftm@vsin.com, on X or on social or on Instagram as well. That's a gut punch, man.
I know you want to be a competitor too, but you could just pick the same game and try to get out of there with a 3-2, and that would have moved the chains and you would have cashed a nice ticket.
I would have.
But I guess it's easier to say now, but it was certainly that's all he had to do.
Well, how about the luck factor there though? Clearly going, flip it and he's going to run away with both of them.
Yeah. But you're also hot and you figure that's not going to happen.
Right.
And then it goes horribly wrong, right? It's like watching Alabama play. How can everything go wrong and look like that in a span of 40 minutes?
Yep. So the Circa Survivor is down to 45. And by far the number one entry this week with a bullets, Tampa Bay, 28 entries on the Buccaneers. And plenty of people were saving them. I know on the one entry that I had left until Baltimore took me out on Thanksgiving night, we had this game circled for Tampa Bay, and we plan on using them here as well. So a lot of people thinking the same thing this week anyway. But nine teams selected, Paulie.
Every week, stunned by this. Yep. So we know there's going to be some surprises because everyone that advanced had it. You had to use an underdog on Thanksgiving and Black Friday. But five on Cleveland with the second most selected team here. Where Tennessee's awful and they should be winless on the year and they're not showing a lot of fight and the offense is so bad, but you're ride or die with that horrible Cleveland offense and to have five on Cleveland. And then you had, you know, I'm not going to two with the Rams, two with Denver, three with Seattle. No problem there. Tua on the road and Philly on the road.
Now that to have Tua on the road in week 14 in December for a Survivor contest, that takes guts, man.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, how many teams that are used every single week? And thankfully, there were no picks as we ran into two no-shows last week.
And I like this, by the way. The person on Baltimore, you could say the same thing about Philadelphia as well. But Philadelphia on the road against the Chargers when they have the Raiders coming up next week. The person that saved Baltimore did not use him on that entry against the Bengals to get here and then use him against Pittsburgh. Great job out of you. Looking back, I wish we would have done the same thing. But yeah, Philadelphia, they have. So week 15, Philadelphia gets the Raiders and the 49ers are off a bye against Tennessee. Plenty of options next week again. But again, like you said, now that we're down to 45 and people were contrarian on Thanksgiving, you might see a lot of like the Browns pick to go five. It's my understanding that, you know, a lot of the teams were not available on certain entries here. So if you're going to go Cleveland with five, you weren't exactly staring at the Rams laying 9.5 in this game, or maybe they didn't have the Buccaneers available to you as well.
Yeah, I don't really like the Eagles pick, as you mentioned, but the one thing there is you could just sit back and there's carnage and wait to see how much your ticket's worth on Monday night. How about the one down the street? How about the Westgate? We got eight left.
It's down to eight. I have one of them here. Six people are on Tampa Bay. Now, this is the same person with two entries. Now, this is the person, again, who had the Bears against the Giants a few weeks ago when Chicago had no business winning that game and Jackson Dart got hurt and the Bears came back to win. And then 2 weeks ago, he had one entry with Dallas down 21-0 to Philadelphia, came back to win. And in that same week, he had Detroit at home against the Giants. And you want to talk about it's over with, dead and buried, forget about it. He was on both teams. That person is not on Tampa. They are on Cleveland with one entry and Seattle with another. So that person with a Buccaneers loss today, as long as one of those teams win, the Browns or the Seahawks, that entry can win the entire contest. Or if three teams lose today, it's over with and it's an eight-way chop, which... I think it's been 2 weeks in a row where a single team has not been chopped now in the Westgate Survivor Contest.
And that guy's been living right, who had somehow got there with Dallas against Philly, 21 rip, and also got there with Detroit against the Giants. So that guy's been playing with fire, but it's worked out for him. And a great job by Jeff Benson here at Circa to point it out. 45 left in Circa Survivor, but it's 37 people.
Right. And each entry worth about $416,000 if you want to round up here. Right. I got
good luck.
Yeah, in this one, in the Westgate one, there is no special holiday week that you have to put together here. So it's just, it's 18 weeks. So I look at it like this. We have hit a 13 team money line parlay so far. We have to hit five more to get to the end and plan it accordingly. And obviously then hit an 18 teamer. There's so much football left. It's not even funny. And the same thing has to be said, obviously, about Circa.
Oh, here, my
but,
God.
But with the expanded 2 weeks, you have to hit a 20-team money line parlay to win this thing.
And you got
to
play that Christmas Day game, and that's tough. I mean, I think you throw out the Chiefs game at home against Denver. Does anyone have Detroit? I think one person does at Minnesota. And then you got to play. There's going to be people who are forced to play Washington at home against Dallas.
That might be the biggest game of the whole day.
Yeah.
By the way, we had John Accorsi on Follow the Money on Friday. And if you did not hear that interview, if you don't maybe listen Monday through Friday, today's the one day that you can on a Sunday, whatever. If you want unbelievable intel on a person's strategy with Survivor, he has four left. John Accorsi has four entries left, and he was on four dogs on Thanksgiving, and he planned out specifically to go that way. But it was also just Survivor strategy in general. You can go back and find the Follow the Money podcast wherever you listen to him. The guy was incredible. He was in the second hour on Friday, but he's won a football contest out here before. He's the guy who beat Doug Kazarian by a game or two, I think, a couple of years ago to win a college football contest. Very sharp better. And his perspective on playing Survivor in general was just, it changed my thinking a little bit anyway, moving forward.
Make the holidays unforgettable with Omaha Steaks, holiday roast, hand-selected gift packages. Omaha Steaks delivers top quality meals and memorable gifts that bring everyone together. Each steak, perfectly aged and hand-carved, exceptional flavor. Love the steaks, burgers, sausages delivered right to your door. Great gift. VSiN exclusive. You get 16 free smash burgers with any order of $129 or more, plus 50% off site-wide. OmahaSteaks.com/VSiN. Minimum purchase may apply. OmahaSteaks.com/VSiN. Go get it.
We will get into some incredible numbers with Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals as they take on Buffalo today, a game in which the Bills are favored by now 6 at most books. So they've taken a little bit of money this week. And we'll tell you about a team, one of the best in the entire league, and they are 23-6 ATS in the month of December going back. Find out which team that is coming up on VSiN's Pro Football Tailgate Show.
VSiN's Pro Football Tailgate Show right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
John Hanson, the fantasy guru, joins the program in 15 minutes. His best bets with player props on the Week 14 NFL betting card. This Bengals game today on the road against Buffalo, Cincinnati. They have a pulse. Burrow is back. The Bills taking money, though, up to about a 6-point favorite. A lot of numbers here on Burrow and his head coach, Zach Taylor. Burrow overall, only 9-10 straight up, but 17-2 ATS of a dog when it's between 3 and 7 points. So 17-2 ATS on that one. Steve Mack in a numbers, VSiN.com, stellar as always. And when he takes on, in his last 18 starts, when the Bengals go against a really good offense, meaning a team that averages 27 points per game or more, Burrow's like, yeah, how does this taste? You think you have a good offense? 15-3 ATS against those teams. Remarkable. Buffalo in non-divisional conference games with McDermott mostly as the head coach, 43-30, good there. And the number one edge in yards at for a receiving yard prop is Keon Coleman going over 24.5. They have him projected for about 41, 42 yards right now. Opt AI stats at VSiN.com, Paulie.
Chase Brown's been good. I know he's popular, but I think he should have success on the ground here against Buffalo. It's a show-me game for two teams. It's enough already. Just show me what you're made of and win by margin. Number one, Buffalo. Don't turn the ball over. You're going to win against Cincinnati. Horrendous defense. No Hendrickson. Can't put pressure on a quarterback. But Allen's had an interception 4 games in a row. Buffalo's 1-4 ATS against teams with a losing record. But you're supposed to come out. Cook should eat. And you should go up and down the field against the Bengals. And the other one is Baltimore. And I'm waiting on Lamar Jackson after that horrible performance.
I don't know
against
if we're
Cincinnati.
Get it.
It's just going back, though. 9 of the last 10 have gone under regular season between these teams. The margin of victory, 2-7-7-3-2-3-1-5-4. But that was before the last two, where Baltimore won by 17 and 14 points. Pittsburgh's got a horrendous defense. It's the worst pass defense. They're 17th against the run. As Warren Sharp said earlier, it's all about Henry. Why'd you get away from him in the second quarter and abandon the run so early against Cincinnati? You have a great rushing attack. Your defense has been phenomenal during this run. You're only allowing 16 points per game in the last 6. Rodgers can't move. They're not on the same page. He's calling out guys after the loss. was pathetic showing against the Bills. But again, just take care of the ball. You're going to win. Five turnovers the last two games for the Ravens. Still waiting on them offensively and Lamar Jackson. They need to win by margin, both of those teams, or I'm done.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we're going to get it from Lamar Jackson. Again, missing a day of practice earlier this week. Has it been pretty? I don't know if he can get it done in this spot either. So I'm not going to hold my breath on him whatsoever. And I can't believe this. Schefter tweeted this out earlier today. It's the first ever meeting between Rodgers and Lamar Jackson. Take that for what it's worth. Baltimore also 15-26 ATS as a divisional home favorite going back to 2010. Not great there.
Well, it's been nuts also with the dog. You just blindly take the dog in this matchup. 23-5-3 ATS run.
Yeah, and Tomlin, you have this angle with Tomlin too.
Yeah.
It didn't happen last week, but 38-19-1 ATS run as a single-digit dog in that game. And so that did not get there with Buffalo last week. And I'll go back to the Bills game for one more thing real quick against the Bengals. In post, there's a lot to this, but in post-Thanksgiving Day games where there's a win advantage of at least four season wins, Buffalo has 8, Cincinnati has 4. Mm-hmm. And the home team is favored, but not by more than 7 points. Those teams are 40-6 straight up, meaning Buffalo. 40-6 straight up, 35-10 ATS. I think there's a push in there as well. 77.8% since Christmas of 2016. And those teams are on a 15-game straight up and ATS winning streak. How about that? Steve Mackinnon again, VSiN.com.
It was the pathetic showing by the Steelers. There were some money quotes in there. What Rodgers said about guys not missing meetings and we're not on the same page and running the wrong routes. Also, TJ Watt said, I've never seen this before. They just ran the same play over and over and over again, and we couldn't stop it. Good job by Buffalo. But not only is a polarizing figure back there, Tomlin, not only were there plenty of boos, there were fire Tomlin chants. Here's Tomlin on what he heard.
Football is our game. We're in the sport entertainment business. And so if you root for the Steelers, entertaining them is winning. And so when you're not winning, it's not entertaining. And if you've been in this business, you understand that. And so I respect it. I share frustrations. I understand what makes this thing go. And winning is what makes this thing go.
Report today, he's not going to get fired.
Yeah, 2 years remaining on his contract. Team option for 2027.
Right.
Is this the year they finally have a losing record?
Well, I think I speak, by the way, this goes to Steeler Nation as well. I think you all agree. You want him to miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
We don't want this junk team in the AFC playoffs at all this year because they're not good. And Rodgers is completely shot. It sucks to watch this. But maybe that could accelerate things. You have a losing record. You miss the playoffs. And then maybe next year the heat is really on this guy. Because I think for the most part, Pittsburgh fans have said enough's enough now. If you're going to do that, and they've been saying this for a long time, like you want to move on and get a fresh face and a fresh voice in there.
I haven't won a playoff game since 2016.
How is that acceptable?
Yeah,
there.
I know.
This is the guy who's awesome in December. It's Sean McVay. The Rams are 22-7 straight up, 23-6 ATS in December since 2018. And they're taking money against Arizona, and Arizona's downed a ton of dudes in this game today. But it's a get-right game for them. Boy, they were all set up, man. The path was right there. Don't screw it up.
Yeah.
Don't just beat the teams that you're supposed to. And then that Thursday night game in a couple of weeks against Seattle is going to be the nuts. But you had to go to Carolina and put up a D-minus performance and lose the game outright.
And no need to panic, though. It was just Stafford had an off game. I mean, they were going up and down the field. Yeah. He had the pick six. He had the interception in the end zone. Ball was deflected, and then they were driving again, and the strip sack as well. So, but several guys said it. They took them lightly, and they paid the price. But now I think everyone eats in this game against Arizona. Arizona's on a horrible, I don't know how they beat the Cowboys on that Monday night game. It contained Dak. But I think Gannon could be gone as well. Murray out for the season, but again, several guys out on the defensive side of the ball. And McVay and the Rams should go off here and win by margin.
Samich brought this up on Friday's edition of Follow the Money. We were talking a little bit about NFL awards, and we discussed Offensive Player of the Year and how, like, Jonathan Taylor and JSN, they were both like minus 105 at the time at DraftKings. And people were asking about Jahmyr Gibbs, if he can pull it off. We're asking about Christian McCaffrey as well. Is that a possibility? Samich threw out Davante Adams at a huge number. to higher than 100-1. Now, he's not going to be there. It's not going to be like Jamar Chase last year, because Chase won the triple crown of receiving and played for a team that didn't make the playoffs. He didn't win, and Barkley had that incredible season. But Adams could, at this pace, have 20 touchdowns or more. And he is lapping the field now to lead this year in receiving touchdowns. Like, if he were to finish with 20, 21, 22 touchdowns at this rate, is there any way at 100-1 or higher on him to win that award?
No.
Get down right now.
No, because there's too many of them are like 1 and 2 yards. I just think this is ridiculous how the play calling with McVay, 3rd and 1, how bad they are, and just forcing them the ball at the 1 yard line. I mean, I just think it's how many of those touchdowns are 1 and 2 yards. So I'm not going to be like, oh wow, what a performance he got. There was a couple games where he only had a couple catches, but he had the 1 yard touchdown. Yeah. So I think it's JSN or Taylor.
I think Gibbs and McCaffrey can still steal it.
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah, I think they can.
I don't think there's enough time.
Oh, there's plenty of football left.
I think JSN has a huge game today, by the way.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Now, Atlanta couldn't slow down Mitchell for the Jets last week, so that does not look good now when you got JSN coming to town off a bad performance, or at least they couldn't get him the ball, and Darnold struggled, and he should go off as well. I know the guru will have an opinion on that coming up, too.
Yeah, he could get right back on track today and go for 130 again, and it's like, well, yeah, now he's got... I think Taylor struggles today on the ground. You mentioned that briefly. Jacksonville has an awesome run defense. And if you're going to get a lot of rain, maybe it's dicey for him and he doesn't. And the Colts have a very difficult schedule the rest of the way. And there's an angle here where I really regret not having them like 8-9-1 when we talked about it to miss the playoffs.
JSN is now 4-1 to break Megatron's record. He was $1.90 at FanDuel before the dud against the Vikings.
Right. Well, one more dud and he probably won't do it, but... Yeah, it's probably a spot here, unless the blitz just gets to Darnold the entire game. And he's incapable of finding that guy. But I think they'll be able to figure it out today and probably win in convincing fashion today.
Yep. Another good note from Evan Abrams. Since week 9, early games, favorites are 9-27-1 ATS. That's incredible what's going on.
Is that right?
Their issues. So monitor that again, 8 early, 3 late. And the bad run for the favorites in the early games going back.
All right, very good. You can always get in touch with the show on X at VSIN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, at Paulie Howard. Email is open, ftm@vsin.com as well. John Hansen, the fantasy guru, is going to join the program coming up next. He'll have best bets for player props. Paulie teased it there. He likes JSN a lot. Why? What's the analysis here today? We'll get it from him coming up here on VSIN's Pro Football Tailgate Show.
You're watching VSIN's Pro Football Tailgate Show right here on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Time to get some best bets with player props as the fantasy guru himself, John Hansen, joins the program. His show is called Prop Points, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern, right here on VSIN, 10 o'clock Pacific time, and he is on the Progressive Guest Line. Guru, good Sunday. How are you today?
Doing pretty well here. I've been doing pretty well with some last minute props like these low end guys, but I don't like popping them out here. I'm a very superstitious person. I started doing this segment last year with Rich Gannon and Stormy, and I went for guys who were going to go off, but I'm ready to rock and roll. I do have I have one wide receiver who's very, very due, and I love guys who are due.
Okay, we'll get to him coming up in a second. Is JSN due after having a bad game, his first clunker? We told the audience that you do like him to go over today. What's the analysis here? Why does he bounce back after one bad week last week?
Right. Well, he's due, but that's only one game. But yeah, this is pretty much the exact same matchup. I came on here, I believe 2 weeks ago, and I said this could hit by halftime, and I believe it did, or very close. The Falcons are a perimeter funnel. They allow the 7th fewest schedule adjusted fantasy points per game from the slot, but the fifth most to outside receivers, where JSN is lining up 80% of the time. That was my analysis, by the way, this summer on JSN. People wondered if he could consistently win on the outside. I'm like, yes, he can. That's why fantasy points data comes in handy, because the data looked good. The Falcons have used cover 4 at a league-leading 35% clip over the last 4 games, and JSN has been targeted. This is truly an absurd number. 54% of his routes against cover four. That's a 59% boost to his already awesome averages. And he's averaging a draw dropping 7.3 yards per route run, which is a 76% boost compared to other shells. Falcons have also blitzed at the second highest rate this year, and Sam Darnold's deep throw rate increases 77% when blitzed, while JSN gets a 35% boost to his yards per route run. So this is what I do. I line up, stack up all the positives here, and we're bursting with positives. Atlanta has given up 70 yards to number one wide receivers in four straight games, including, and I liked him last week as a sleeper, A.D. Mitchell got him for eight grabs for 102 and a tutty. So I do believe that JSN can equal that.
All right. We're waiting on Baltimore and Lamar Jackson. Does Flowers get it done today against the Steelers?
I'm going to go yes. He's the guy who's extremely due. He is set to see a lot of Asante Samuel, who just joined the lineup, and he's given up big-time production right away. But more importantly, it's an ideal schematic matchup for Flowers. The Steelers use single high looks at a top five clip. Flowers gets a 50% boost to his yards per route run against single high compared to too high. They also use the seventh highest rate of man coverage, and at 36%, Flowers is very good against man, 2.15 yards per route run. And again, this is what I'm talking about, stacking up positives. They're also an underneath funnel, allowing the second most receiving yards per game on throws traveling within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage, but the 10th fewest on the deep ball. I mean, he's all over the place, but he cleans up underneath all day long on those shorter routes. They give up the fourth most receiving yards to outside receivers. Flowers produced against them both times last year, and I'm pretty sure I won at least one prop on this because of the schematic matchup. He had 2 for 39 and a tutty. Not a huge day, but then he had 5 for 100. So, I mean, the number's so low. I mean, it's like mid to upper 50s. I'm very confident that he'll get this based on everything I just said. Plus, he's due.
All right. You keep cashing here with Watson and 17 targets the last two games. Does Watson go over against the Bears?
Going to do it again. I mean, in fantasy, one of my mottos forever was if a guy's doing well for you, keep starting him until he proves you wrong for doing it. And I think I'm 3-0 on Watson props here. The Bears, by the way, have gotten killed by wide receivers over the past 5 weeks in terms of schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game. It's like worth plus 6.8 points if you face the Bears. They have allowed the fifth most receiving yards per game on deep throws, traveling 20-plus yards down the field. Watson currently leads the NFL in catchable deep targets per game, while Jordan Love ranks tied for second in the NFL in deep throw rate since Watson returned. The Bears have been particularly vulnerable against opposing number one wide receivers, which is what Christian Watson is these days. And again, stacking up positives, they generate the third lowest pressure rate, and Love ranks top five in fantasy points per dropback when he's kept clean. And Watson averages 3.33 yards per route run on those plays when he's clean, which would rank sixth best. So a lot of positives here. I know Jalen Johnson is back, but he just plays one side. So they'll move Watson all over the place. He might see Jalen Johnson a third of the time, 40% of the time. That's a tougher matchup, but we can get here again. Even though we're probably going to get Jaden Reed back, Christian Watson commands the ball. Christian Watson is suiting up for the Packers right now, and you're the play caller, you're the quarterback, you're like, I got to get this guy the ball. I mean, he's absolutely balling.
You have to. I mean, Reed coming back is nice for them, but you have to realize that Watson's like the best target now that you have on the team and keep going to him. The fantasy guru, John Hansen's our guest here, and he is on the Progressive guest line. I took a little slice of Devon Achane to lead the league in rushing this morning at 20-1 because of the schedule that Miami has coming up. I mean, he stays healthy for the next five games. He should go off in almost every single one of them, including today, I'm hoping, against the Jets. Yeah.
Absolutely. No question about it. By the way, the Quinyon Williams-less Jets have allowed the sixth highest explosive run rate since the trade, which obviously bodes incredibly well for Devon Achane. I was just telling you guys off the air about 3 weeks ago. I think it was one of those Europe games. I was, you know, into a Jalen Waddle prop, and I'm watching the game. I'm like, I'm done. I'm sunk here because the offense is all Achane. He's completely taken over. that, you know, Tua is just a game manager, just paying the man to hand the ball off. I mean, his attempts the last three games, if you look, are like 21, 22. He's been the identity all year, but it's really, really coming into focus. And, you know, they got Austin Jackson back at right tackle, and their offensive line is kind of dominating here, road grading it out. And New York allows the ninth most rushing yards per game. He got them for 99 yards rushing back in late September. So hopefully they'll have center Aaron Brewer. That's the only negative here. He still has a chance to go. He's been limited, but even without him, he's going to get the ball, and he's probably going to rip off a long run because of the explosive run rate. So, yeah, he'll do it again, I believe.
Okay, and it's a big game incoming. I mean, I thought the same thing last week with Pittsburgh. I hated their game plan. They, first of all, they never even had the ball really in the first half, and then they allowed Buffalo to do whatever they wanted. I thought they were going to run all over Buffalo. They didn't. Does Chase Brown get it done right today?
It might be close here. By the way, I was just telling you guys, you know, the closer we get to kickoff, the more in tune I get to these things. And I should put it on here. I like James Cook too. I mean, the Bengals run defense is awful. Mm-hmm. They don't have Hendrickson. Cook's going to, you know, it'll probably be a thing where they come out in the first quarter, he's got like 35 yards on the first drive. But I do believe that, you know, the Bengals are looking good here with Joe Burrow. They are running the ball a lot better. And a lot of the adjustments that they've made have been on those man and gap concept runs. And Buffalo, those are the type of runs. Chase Brown's been getting it done on these man gap runs. Those are the runs that Buffalo is bad. They're bad against everything, but particularly bad against those man or gap concept runs. They're giving up 5.4 yards per carry. I know P. Ryan closed the gap there a little bit. Like, it will be close, but I think Brown will pop one off here and get to the number, and I think it's still under 60 yards. So it's very doable. I mean, this has been one of the worst run defenses in the league all year. All year, these Buffalo Bills. So I'm going to go over on Chase Brown, too.
Very good. You can follow John on X. He is at @fantasy_guru, and his show is called Prop Points, Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock Eastern, right here on VSiN. Guru, thank you. Best of luck today. We appreciate that.
Let me crowbar in one low-end one. Devin Neal over the receiving yards. That I believe, is a lock.
There we go.
Whoa! Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I'm strong on him as well. Thank you.
You got it.
Yep. I bet Neal at 17.5. This weekend. So DraftKings has moved the Miami Hurricanes down to +130 to make the playoff. And they just literally moved Notre Dame up to -$12. Mm. And Caesars is at -1500 on Notre Dame now. So the number on Notre Dame is going up to make, and the number on Miami is going down to make. Alabama is currently -270 to make it, +$2 not to.
I saw -3,000 before the game against Georgia.
Yeah.
Incredible. What DeBoer said yesterday wasn't accurate. Well, the precedent has been set. No, SMU got in, but SMU lost, but still dropped two spots.
Right.
And they lost at the gun on a 56-yard field goal. You got destroyed and embarrassed yourself.
We'll update those numbers again because they announce it at noon today, Eastern time. That's not that far from right now. I can't wait to, again, like, will the word leak out like SMU? Does the market get a hold of this stuff? Do the numbers keep changing? I think they might. Up next, let's get nuts, have some guts. We'll run down running backs that should eat today and tight ends with favorable matchups. This team is so bad at defending the position. Find out which one next.
VSiN's Pro Football Tailgate Show, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Want to get nuts? Come on, let's get nuts!
It's that time to get nuts and have some guts.
And you want to get nuts? Come on! Guts! Show some guts! A little guts here! Guts!
All right, eclectic mix as always. I'll start with Myles Garrett, who can set the single-season sack record. How about today? Today, Junior, +750 against the most sacked quarterback, Ward, and the Titans. He can do it at home. That is offered at DraftKings.
How many does he need?
Four.
And he might have that by half.
No kidding. The Bears to miss the playoffs, plus 225. Even though they're the one seed, they have the 14th best odds to win the Super Bowl and the 7th best in the NFC. Two against the Packers at San Francisco on a Sunday night and Detroit at home, plus 225, Bears to miss. Watson, 70-plus yards, plus 175 at DraftKings. All those targets, 17 targets the last two games. Devon Bailey, plus 350 anytime touchdown for the Saints. 15 targets the last two games. He scored last week. His production has picked up with Cooks let go and the trade of Shaheed. Myers, two touchdowns for Jacksonville, 17-1. There's been a great rapport and great production since he was acquired from the Raiders, and he has a good rapport with Lawrence. This also a good rapport. Remember when Cousins was running the scout team, he was throwing to Sills a lot. Well, now that Cousins has been in there, he's found him a couple times. Sills anytime touchdown for Atlanta is 6-1. Washington, the big fella, the tight end for Pittsburgh. Rodgers likes to look at him, especially in the red zone. He's 425 anytime touchdown today for the Steelers. Achane, two touchdowns, 4-1. Also, Achane to have the most rushing yards on the season, 17-1. What Mitch was talking about, here's the closing schedule for Miami. Jets, Steelers, Bengals, Tampa, and who knows what the Patriots do in Week 18. As Guru said, it's all been about Achane going back here for Miami. The Broncos to have a defensive or special teams touchdown, plus 450. This will not go well for Geno Smith. They can set the record for most sacks in the season, and the Raiders can't protect him. And he's also a turnover waiting to happen. And one more pizza money. All the talk about Notre Dame, Miami, and Alabama, and rightfully so. ESPN cannot say James Madison is 99.9% to get in the playoff. Who knows what these guys could do today? And maybe they just peekaboo, sneak Duke in there as they beat a top 20 team yesterday. Duke is 19-1 to make the playoff at Caesars. That's worth a sprinkle. Good luck.
By the way, during the game last night, a very low-scoring Big Ten title game, throughout most of it, Diego Pavia turned into the short shot or even odds on to win the Heisman. Nothing against Mendoza. Great year. He completes a pass on third down to seal the game. So he goes from a pick'em to minus 2,000. That third down completion won him the Heisman Trophy. Are you serious? Pavia is now all of a sudden can't win the award? That's outrageous to me.
Yeah.
So some of the obvious guys today are the players like James Cook. And Guru mentioned it there. Bengals have allowed the second most running yards for running backs and 11 touchdowns. He's at 102 and a half yards as we speak at DK. So I don't even know how you want to get nuts with something like him unless you wanted to go like two touchdowns and 100 yards. I would actually think that's an angle for another guy that I have coming up. But in that same game, and he likes Chase Brown as well, that's the much more doable number. Chase Brown's at 50 and a half rushing. The Bills have allowed the fourth most yards and 15 touchdowns on the ground. Quinshon Judkins is so obvious today for the Browns. His number is now 83 and a half. This is the guy I was talking about here. Tennessee has allowed 14 touchdowns to backs on the ground. Maybe a same game parlay where you ladder him, you go 100 plus yards on the rushing yards and a touchdown or two touchdowns with Judkins, because Tennessee's run defense is so bad overall. And I'll expand on Achane. The Jets have allowed the fourth most touchdowns overall. They're allowing more than 131 yards on the ground per game this season. He gets the Steelers next. They're giving up 118 yards per game on the season. Then he gets Cincinnati in week 16. Will they give up 153 yards on the ground today? Hence James Cook's number being so big. I get it. Achane is behind Taylor by 250 yards. Sloppy conditions today in Jacksonville against the league's best run defense for Taylor. A very difficult schedule down the stretch. We call this segment, Let's Get Nuts, Have Some Guts for a Reason. I think the schedule works out where Achane has such an he can track him down and get close. I took 20-1 to lead the league in rushing yards today.
Hey, even better. All right.
For Achane. Yep. Bijan Robinson in the air today. Seattle, they're actually getting guys back on defense, and that unit's been great. But two areas where you can get the job done against this team. One would be tight ends. So maybe it's a Kyle Pitts game. The other one would be running backs in the air. They've allowed the fourth most catches and yards to running backs. And Robinson has been one of the best threats the entire year as a running back in the air. So Robinson's ladder at 40 plus, 45, 50 plus yards in the air to get it done through Seattle makes a lot of sense to me. And Devin Neal has to be an option. I bet him over 17 and a half, but I'm going to look for 30 plus, 40 plus in the air. Tampa has allowed the single most receiving yards to running backs and four touchdowns. His last three games, 3, 5, and 3 catches. One game he only had 9 yards, but the other two he had 43 and 22 yards. So he has to be in the account today. Myers was going to be an obvious choice for Jacksonville, as the Colts have allowed the fourth most catches and eighth most yards to wide receivers, but now the rain, I think, draws a line through him. And I'm glad that John Hansen brought up Zay Flowers. The Steelers, it doesn't get talked about enough again with Mike Tomlin keeping his job now beyond this year. The defense is a laughingstock. They've allowed the most catches and fourth most yards to receivers overall. To your point, Jackson has to get it. I mean, if it doesn't start working today, and how many times are we going to say that now for Baltimore's offense? The rest of the year, I guess. But you can exploit this Pittsburgh defense, and I think Zay Flowers has to be the guy to get it done. Kincaid looks like he's going to go today for Buffalo. So the combination here of Kincaid, Knox, Hawes, the Bengals have allowed 86 catches to tight ends, the most. 1,121 yards to tight ends, most by 250 yards and 13 touchdowns. No other team has allowed more than 8. I wanted Kincaid to miss today so I could ladder Knox slash Hawes and maybe bet a touchdown anytime for those guys or 2 touchdowns. But you need to be able to attack it one way or the other here with these Buffalo tight ends. And again, the rain, the Jags can be absolutely had in the air by tight ends. I want to really attack it with Tyler Warren. I don't think that's going to be the case, though, because of the rain. And it should be a Kyle Pitts today. Yeah. Seattle has allowed some of the worst numbers in the league to tight ends overall, as do the Dolphins. So maybe a Mason Taylor look for the Jets. I wish we could ladder Danny Dimes under. Is he going to run today with that fibula? Paulie, in the rain against Jacksonville's defense, it's 4.5 or 5.5 yards. I want to bet like 0 rushing yards on him in this game.
Very good. Before the line moves, sharp plays already there. They don't just follow the market. They help move it. You're not going to outsmart billion-dollar books or full-time sharps on your own. Powered by advanced AI, connected to proven insider sources across all the sports. They deliver the edge serious bettors rely on. Free reports, alerts, and market-moving insights straight to your inbox or X feed. They've been with Follow the Money since day one, and Jeff and the crew been at it since 2011. Look for the Mr. Poison tweets later today and the first touchdown props that are sent out as well. Documented results, public logs, transparent receipts, sharpplays.com, trusted by pros, monitored by the book. Stay ahead of the line. Visit sharpplays.com.
If anything, I think Duke winning last night helped Miami's case.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because you can't put a 5-loss team in the playoff. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Come on. We're getting carried away at that point.
Miami can't be out.
Yeah, but it's also like, are they going to leave the ACC out then completely?
That's right. Another thing.
That's why it helps them.
You can't have... You're using 3 teams here. Miami beat one of them head-to-head, and the other one, they have a much better score and a common opponent against Bama, which is Florida State.
Right.
I mean, it's a no-brainer that Miami should be in with out of these 3 teams.
They have, like, everything going for them now. Yes. Everything.
Yes.
And you were saying this last week, once the coaches start to, like, really look at the resumes here, they're going to say, Miami beat them in the regular season. You cannot ignore that.
The Nick Saban quote yesterday was awesome, live on game day, that Miami kicked their ass, speaking of Notre Dame. Love only had 33 yards rushing. Yeah. And the people who are respected and the big names that cover this sport all say, you got to have Miami in.
We'll get a weather update for week 14. And the National Football League. Bill Dager is going to join the program coming up on VSiN's Pro Football Tailgate Show.